Haha, you know what time it is. GameSpot After Dark, episode 219. This is 219, right?
219.
Holiday special. You know what time it is. It's Thanksgiving week here in the United States of America. If you really know about the deep, dark history of Thanksgiving, you know that it is a horrible history behind it.
Is that what we're talking about this week?
Yeah, listen, Jean-Luc, I brought you into this room because I need to take all my white coworkers aside to let them know about the horrors around Thanksgiving.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, there's some real dark shit out there. Turns out American history is dark as hell. But what's not as dark is After Dark, GameSpot After Dark, where we talk about video games.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be a 1v1 here today with your boy Michael P. Hyam on the mic. You know who it is, joined by my good friend, Jean-Luc Seipke.
Hi, professional liar here. I said there wasn't going to be an episode this week, last week, and then I fucking professional lied. Liar,
I mean, listen, the lies of Jean-Luc P. There's no P in your name.
No, there's not.
Seipke.
Seipke.
The lies of Seipke. There you go.
That's not bad.
Hey. But yeah, we're just chilling because I mean, there's still a few people in the office today, surprisingly, but
there are actually wasn't expect. I really thought it was just gonna be you and me in here, but Tuesday before
for TG
Thanksgiving, people got shit to do.
We gotta crank things out.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta crank it before the holidays.
Yep.
So we're gonna crank one out here for y'all. Crank out an episode.
Oh my god,
of the podcast. See, this is why y'all can't have me on for too long, because this shit just gets derailed. We're like, what, 3 minutes into this shit? But
I'll keep going.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get this shit back on track. See, when you don't have the cameras and you don't have the live stream, no one's going to hold me accountable.
Yeah, it like takes the pressure off.
Too much is kind of the problem. Actually, you know what? That's content. So I hope y'all enjoy this. Maybe don't listen to this around the family gathering. Just TG, keep it on your AirPods. What the fuck's the shit called?
The Sony Pulse.
The Pulse Explorers. Yeah, keep those in there so you can keep this one to yourself. But there's still things to talk about. Mm-hmm. We also just want to chill, give y'all a little for the regular listeners out there. Give you a little treat for the holidays in case you want some of that. But yeah, I mean, Jean-Luc, we have some games to talk about.
We sure do.
What you want to talk about, baby?
Dude, let's talk about a little game called Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, let's go.
I can't not hear the song when I say it. Man, Super Mario RPG. I just realized the other day that they took out the subtitle.
Legend of the Seven Stars.
Why'd they do that? Like,
I feel like, I don't know. One, at least they can differentiate itself so you don't run into SEO problems.
I guess.
Because, you know, like Resident Evil 4 doesn't even say remake on it. It's just like, this is Resident Evil 4. And now you're searching like, what the fuck is the original?
I feel like that just removes some of the charm. They're like sanding. I feel like it sands off some of the personality. That's my opinion on it. I have never played the original game. So I had no nostalgia for this coming in. I beat it last night.
Hell yeah.
It's a damn good video game. Let me tell
Hell
you,
yeah,
that's pretty
let's
great.
Go.
What a delightfully charming, wholesome little game. I loved it. I mean, it's interesting playing it because I have played some of the later Mario RPG type things, like Mario and Luigi or some of the Paper Marios, and this is like the progenitor for that style. I feel
of
that type of characterization of the Toads or just Mario or Mario is so funny in this game even though he never talks.
He's goofy.
He's really goofy.
He gets angry.
Yeah, he wants to beat up a kid at one point. And they're holding him back, no, Mario, he's just a kid.
Mario is violent in this game.
Yeah, it's really fun. And Bowser is so sweet.
Bowser's a big softie.
Because Bowser's I can't let them know.
I'm the hardest motherfucker on the block.
Yeah.
But I can't let them know I got feelings.
Let them know that. And then there's a part later in the game where you're meeting Bowser's old minions.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Bowser, I'm so sorry. I just had to do this. And he's like, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. And I'm just like, oh,
he's a cool ass dude in this.
Yeah.
In this
he's
game.
A really cool dude in a way that's really funny.
Yeah. It's a unique take on all the characters.
It's a super unique take on all the characters. And then, I mean, the new characters Mallow and Geno are like fun and charming. Like, you know, it's very simple. It's super breezy. I think I beat in like 16 hours.
Yeah, it's like 15 to 18 hours.
You know, I admittedly didn't grind all of the like side content because let me tell you, the mini games,
they are they are as janky as they were on the SNBA. I love that they all play exactly how they did.
I love that too. I think that was the right call. But oh boy, do some of that shit not
like age. Did you do the Yoshi Island racing?
Yes, I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Because I'm actually like not the best at rhythm games. Like I sometimes can kind of like mess that up, and so I'm like, this has got to be a me issue. And it's then not. It's like, no, this is just bad. I'm
yeah, like, okay. The timing is just like really weird on that.
It's weird to play a Mario game where the platforming is like ass.
Oh, the platforming is, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's the thing he's good at. And it's like terrible in this game.
Because it's isometric and it's eight way.
Yes.
But it's also, it's not necessarily like grid based.
Yeah. Like you have a freedom of movement.
Yeah.
So like, you're like, oh, like the you can never get the perspective right where you think you're going to land. And a lot of times I would like be like, oh, I'm going to move a little bit and then jump. But like, there's a weird delay, so you just fall off, and I would like keep doing it. There's a part where you're supposed to like beat some like platforming challenges in like, you know, have like 10 tries, and I'd be like, all right, now go, and I would just like fall off. I'd fall off again. Yeah. I'd fall off, and I'd be like, God fucking damn it! Yeah. Like holy shit! Yep. I'm glad no one's watching me right now because I look like such a dumbass.
Yeah, those are that's exactly how it played on the SNES. I'm glad that they didn't like sand off any of the edges on that.
No.
So I'm like, y'all will experience it exactly how it was back then.
And like, God bless anyone who's like, I'm 100% all of this stuff. Yeah. Like, that's cool, but like, ooh, no. I most of them I did them once and I was like, nah, I'm good. But I like the idea behind including all those for sure.
I almost forgot that like how much they insert just like mini games at every moment. Like it's not just like go through these combat scenarios. Here's dialogue, here's story stuff. But like every like major story beat, and especially towards the end, they just layer on like all these one-off mini games. And they like, I love that it was experimental in a way where let's do this once and then never do it again. Unless you just want to go back and do it.
You can feel the like 90s Squaresoft energy. Mm-hmm. You know, like like you think about like Final Fantasy VII and like how many mini games that has.
Yeah.
Like it feels like the same DNA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Tetsuya Nomura, like I barely like was like the character supervisor on this game. Yeah. So like there were Final Fantasy people straight up working on this game. And I'm like, you can tell.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's really cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And at least like saw it all the way through. Who's your favorite villains?
Ooh.
Or your favorite, like, villains that stood out to you?
That's
because there's a lot of good villains.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think I love the pirate shark guy.
Okay, yeah,
because
cool.
Like the way at the end he's like, like me and Mario are homies now. And then like during the end credits, like his bit is like him like looking out to the sea, like back to the camera, looking all stoic, and I'm just like, like I liked him
cool
a lot. Yeah, cool pirate. You like beat him, and then he's like, all right, the star is yours. And then like those other people steal the star, and then he's like, hey, that's for my bro Mario, I gave that to him, give it back. I'm just like, oh yeah,
hell yeah,
we're homies now, this is great.
Honor among pirates.
Yes. So I think he was the one that stood out for me, but I really liked all the designs. I love the dumb little dodo, little fat dodo guy. I think he's just called Dodo. The little mini game with the statues really cute and charming. Has a lot of really, really good stuff. I'll say that the game, and I have no comparison because I didn't play it, but it wasn't very hard.
Oh, it's super easy.
It's like crazy easy, and I don't mind that, but it I do feel like there's like because I like the idea of this game being like, hey, this is like a great like
baby's first RPG,
like an introduction to RPGs. Like this is the game that like you give a kid and they'll be like, oh man, I'm like, I fuck with this. And like, I want to, you know, especially like, cause I think it holds up really well. It's kind of cool. I love the idea of like a young kid today in 2023 playing this and being like, whoa, this is cool. Mm-hmm. And then like, maybe that's their gateway to like playing
Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah. Or like Final Fantasy or you know, like older. Like, I think that's awesome. I am like, you do need like a little bit more challenge just to keep it engaging. I think I didn't die once, and it was only, I would say, up until like the very final boss where I was like, oh, okay, I gotta pay like a little more attention here because they got a couple of like big attacks. But yeah, not too tough. I don't think it really like hurts the game, but I do think it would be a little stronger if it just had like just like a touch, just like a little more challenge.
I kept thinking to myself, was the original harder than this? Was it just like I wasn't as quote unquote good of a gamer?
I have seen a lot of people online claim that the original was harder and they have dumbed it down, which I think is interesting. And I was playing on normal and there is a easier difficulty option at the beginning. And I was like, what is that?
I don't know how much more easier this can get.
I was like, do you just not die? Like,
I mean, because I not necessarily the game was harder back then, but I felt like it. At least the bosses going through them now, I felt like it took more effort to beat them. I think the first time I noticed this when I was fighting Boyer in the forest maze, the dude who shoots the arrows.
Oh, that fight's cool too.
I feel like that fight went on a lot longer on the SNES version because I remember having to go through a lot more of the button prompts being negated from that fight. I remember just going through that process like multiple times, and then in the remake playing it, I was like, I only cycled through like getting the buttons canceled like one time through before I defeat them. But also it was because of the all out attack that you get, which does like a shit ton of damage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Obviously that wasn't in the original game. I think it's a cool idea. I just think like, and I think Steven mentions this in his review that it makes things a little too easy because you go into a boss fight with that and it's like, boom, I'm already going to lay on like a shit ton of damage.
Right. I mean, yeah. And there's like a lot of different odd attacks. Like there's one that just straight up like fully heals everyone and brings them all back if they've died and gives you all your like FP back. Even if they're not in your party, like if they're like in the rotation, they also get fully healed. I use that on the final boss. I was like, oh, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. They give you a lot of tools. And I do. Maybe they just do a lot more damage too, because like, it was maybe like not even halfway through the game when I got past like Booster's Tower. Mario was already doing like 100 something, almost 200 damage off of a perfectly timed normal attack with like the masher with one of his hammers. I'm like, this seems I seem stronger than I was in the original game.
The numbers seem tweaked.
Yeah. So they juiced the numbers. No, but still, like everything about this game, I just absolutely love. I think the same things I was saying about like the art style. Still kind of like maybe hold this back from being like something that I find absolute like beloved. At least the remake, I'm saying. Like,
no, I completely agree. And
give Mario a neck.
Give Mario a neck. It feels weird because I think like he's the only one that looks like super weird. Like Peach actually looks okay. Oh, Bowser looks fine. It's just Mario. I'm like, he's just too stumpy. A little stumpy guy. Yeah. It's really weird.
That's so funny.
Yeah, like some of the character stuff's weird. I think some of the background environments look pretty good. And I was like, ooh, these look nice. One thing I noticed that I don't like, and this is actually a problem I have with like modern Nintendo period, is their UI design is so freaking boring and sterile. And like, I don't know what is wrong with Nintendo lately, but like they just give us like the most generic ass, like, here you go. It's just like plain text on like just... like
a single color background,
single color background, like that's it. And I'm just like,
there's the original Mario RPG had this like I don't know if it was like a Comic Sans or whatever, but it had like an italicized like font type, and like the background was like worn out pages, like the dialogue boxes were like worn out pages. So it had like
there's
this
like an energy
storybook stylization to it that was kind of like really whimsical. But in this game, everything's just like very like sterile, very template like.
Yes.
And I think that is also another aspect that takes away a lot of the charm.
I completely agree. And I don't know why they're going with this, because I was like, well, maybe like, you know, there's an argument made about like accessibility. But I was like, you can be accessible without being boring, you know, and like I'm like, come on,
something about it. Yeah,
give me some in general. I feel like most games lately the UI is pretty sterile, like I think we've gotten to a point where game UI isn't like bad anymore, but it's kind of
boring now.
Like I even up to like the PS2 era, even you would get like, man, some of this UI is like rough, you know, like it kind of looks, yeah. it kind of looks like ass, but like
it's got style, but it also does style, a fucking function.
It's like, it's like the style is, I don't know what they're going for with the style, but it sure is a style.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, this all like looks presentable and is like readable, but it's just kind of, like, it's just kind of dull.
Yeah. It's like a PowerPointification of
yes.
everyone's UI.
Yeah. And I think seeing it from Nintendo especially is like kind of disheartening. Cause I'm like, oh, like you're like, you're Nintendo, yeah, like you're the whimsy.
Yeah, you're all the ones who got all the charm and all the whimsy.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like what happened, you know?
Yeah. Oh well, but yeah, that's one of the things that kind of bugs me about the Mario RPG remake. But
I agree.
I mean, a lot of the core things are obviously still intact because it's so faithful.
It did not overall, like hamper my enjoyment.
Okay.
So I would still highly recommend it if absolutely. You've never played it. I think it's just like so charming and fun. Yeah. And I definitely, it makes me want to go back and check out the original Paper Mario because I've never played that one. Because next year they're doing Thousand Year Door remake. So ooh, maybe I could go do Paper Mario and then I could go and play Thousand Year Door.
Yeah. I think Paper Mario is another game where. Like playing, if you play it back, it's gonna be pretty simple. Because of the, it was the second RPG for Mario at the time, because I don't think a Mario and Luigi had come out yet by the time Paper Mario came out.
I don't think so, because Paper Mario was N64.
N64, yeah, it came out in, I think 2000. So it was like one of the last, first party N64 games to come out. But yeah, that game's cool as fuck. And this is like same thing with its styling and its humor. And,
Yeah, everyone tells me it's great. Yeah. So I want to check it out.
Obviously, of course, 1,000 Year Door is like when they really hit their stride with that shit, and then kind of tapered off after then with like
You don't love Sticker Star?
No one, I don't think anyone likes Sticker Star, unfortunately. But yeah, Mario RPG's, man, I fucking love that game.
It's
so
cool.
Much. Yeah. Axiom Rangers, fucking dope.
Oh,
They're so funny.
They're funny, yes. There's so much, they stuff so many good bits.
Yeah,
in that game, and it's just it feels like it's just constant. Like they're just
like
keep throwing
new bit. They never like go on. Like it's like the mini games. They do one thing and then they like it's like oh that's cool, that's funny, that's unique, and then they move on from that to the next funny unique thing that it does.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And because it's so short, like a 15 to 18 hour game, like they never have to go back to the well at all with any of the things that they establish in that game.
Yeah, yeah, it's It's all killer, no filler, you know?
Absolutely, man. Damn. Maybe I'll make my top 10 just on principle, just on principle of it being Super Mario RPG. I finished it in 3 sittings. Like,
yeah. I don't know if it'll hit my top 10, but I did really, I enjoyed it.
It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to have. I beat it in 3 sittings, man. It's another one of those experiences. Same thing when I replayed Chrono Trigger earlier this year where, everything like playing through it was kind of surreal because I remember every little bit. I remember the puzzles. I remember where the secret boxes are. I remember so much of this stuff. And I was always playing through it. I'm like, when am I going to encounter something where I'm like, oh, I actually don't remember this. This is cool. But I'm like, no, from front to back, I'm like, yes, this is. I remember I'm remapping a part of my brain that was always like fully rendered in my mind. Like that's really cool that
yeah, you know, your brain like will like kind of like eventually take away certain stuff to like make room for new things. Like there's part of your brain that always like has a chunk in there reserved for Mario RPG and Chrono Trigger. So no, we can't get rid of this one.
Yeah. It's funny, like I've also
stays.
Yeah. I also replayed Final Fantasy VI this year. And there's so much of that game I did not remember. I think just because like how much more expansive that game is. But also, I played Chrono Trigger and Mario RPG all the way through like 20 times when I was a kid. Final Fantasy VI, not so much, even though I do love that game almost equally. But yeah, even comes down to like the timing of attacks. It's the animations and the sounds are a little bit different this time around in the remake, which makes sense, of course. But in terms of like, oh, I remember this spell and this attack has this particular timing. And I did not miss a beat at all. Like, I'm just like, okay, this is how the Koopa Shell works when Mario uses it.
Right.
This is how Bowser's Chain Chomp works. These are Geno's different guns. And I know the timing for his handgun as opposed to his finger shot, whatever.
I loved that they were willing to, like, create multiple different animations for like different weapons for characters. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like most games wouldn't do that. Yeah. It'd be like Mario just has the hammer. And like you'll get better hammers, which you do, but like that they have like, actual like three different variations. Like,
he has the punching glove, the hammer,
and the Koopa shell.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is so cool. Like
I still like
Bowser's animation when he has like when he does when he has like a punching weapon, like a melee weapon equipped. I was just like, I still remember how satisfying. Yeah. Like, I love his animation.
The one where he throws Mario.
Oh, that's so funny. So
cool. And you throw twice. So yeah. Like, throw and then grab and throw him again.
I'm like, yes, they still got. Oh, that shit is
and
so
they'll be
cool.
Like, there's like one area where it's like the characters kind of get like slightly broken up with lava and Bowser still finds a way to jump over so he can grab Mario and throw him anyway. He's like, no, I'm still doing it.
Yeah, it's just, it's like small things like that that just, you know, that give it so much character because it's like aware of what it's doing. It's so self-aware, like to create those one-off moments that are like, oh, wow, they thought of that. They went the extra mile to incorporate that to account for like this unique situation that is happening in the game in this fight or whatever. That's just cool. Last thing I'll say is that if you do want to go back and find something challenging in the game, I actually don't know because I haven't done this myself, but the Culex fight, the Final Fantasy IV reference.
I haven't done that because I beat it and then it has like a new game, like a post game thing where it kind of puts you like back right before the final boss.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I think they added like a boss rush to the game or something like that.
Oh,
but
shit.
But I know that the Final Fantasy fight is in the game.
Okay, yeah. I haven't done it.
So maybe that will be challenging.
That fight is fucking cool. Like, that is one of the most iconic boss fights growing up. As it, like, even through all the other RPGs that I played, the Culex fight is so cool because of, I mean, because like, I also played Final Fantasy IV at the time. And like, Culex is not a like a character in the Final Fantasy universe, but it's like a. Like a proxy of Final Fantasy and like conceptually, and it was just like this really chilling thing where this feels so out of place for Mario RPG, but that's what makes it so like so unique and made it like so like wow, the Mario RPG universe is so much bigger than I thought it was. Like, Square is actually, you know, having creative freedom to incorporate something like this. And for me, like, I love Final Fantasy IV, and I played that as a kid. So when I do the Culex boss fight and it plays the Final Fantasy IV battle theme, I'm like, yo, this is so fucking cool. Like, Mario and like Bowser, Peach, Geno, Mallow are all in this like kind of Final Fantasy crossover together. Oh, that is so dope. It makes me like love the Mario RPG universe so much more. And I think I wrote about this a couple of years ago at this point. Where I wrote about like Mario RPG is I think the best Mario game, the best representation of Mario. And I don't really fuck with the Mario franchise like that much, even though I played Super Mario World, Super Mario, like 64.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of fell off because I was just like, I'm just not into platformers anymore. I feel like as we got, maybe this is just me, but like as we got older, Mario didn't age with us, which is fine, and that's cool because like let's like stay within a certain crowd.
Yes,
I guess.
Yes,
at least with the games.
I would agree.
But Mario RPG for me, it was like this totally unique thing where if you can separate Mario RPG from the rest of the Mario universe, that's still like I still love Mario and those characters in that world and the consistent concepts between all the different Mario games because of Mario RPG. Like, because, it just has so much character, has so much personality to it that maybe I don't necessarily connect with on other Mario games. So in isolation, like, Mario RPG is, like, that's who Mario and that cast is to me.
Totally.
And everything else is kind of, like, cool and all, but, like, that's not what Mario is to me.
No, I feel you.
Yeah, so Mario RPG, man. Y'all should play that shit.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a really breezy play, playthrough. Booster's Tower is still probably my favorite. Like one sequence.
Oh yeah, game. Booster's Tower. Booster's great.
Booster. Oh man, I forgot how short that was.
Is Booster pre Wario or no?
Oh no. Wario's been around.
Oh okay.
Wario had Game Boy games.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Because just like Booster had like a Wario energy about him, where I was like, well, wait, why wouldn't you just use Wario? And then I'm like, oh yeah.
Booster's so fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
and the music, the two theme songs for Booster's Tower, just like. Some of my favorite pieces of music from that era. And though I mentioned this last week that some of the maybe like remastered music maybe it's like it doesn't quite
you can swap, which is cool.
Yeah, which is really dope. And like I constantly swap between the two. And I think one of the things I experienced was how much the original soundtrack still holds up because of how much they're, and I said this last week, how much they're able to stretch the limitations of the 16-bit like era mm-hmm. soundboard, whatever they were using.
Yeah.
Still feels like it fits into the game today. But some of the remasters, like they go the extra mile to add like extra harmonizations,
mm-hmm.
Like doesn't just loop and it has like different renditions of the same melodies and motifs and all that and other ones. But the when they redid the Booster Tower themes, I was like, oh yeah, this is like now we're getting into like the full realization of like what the song, because it's basically a jazz arrangement.
Yeah,
and it has so many layers to it. The melodies and harmonies and the Boosters themes. Oh, so fucking good, man. I love that shit. And Mario RPG. Love that shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. What else have you been playing? Or experiencing?
Well, I watched the Scott Pilgrim anime, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, kind of, I guess, interesting, sort of a like a blast from your past kind of thing.
Yeah, another blast from the past.
Yeah, I shocker, was really into Scott Pilgrim when it came out.
Oh wow,
I know, right?
Couldn't guess that.
Yeah, yeah, a white person from middle class America just being into Scott Pilgrim. Who would have thunk it? Yeah, Yeah, I was like real into Scott Pilgrim, like read the books and loved them. Watched the movie like multiple times in theaters, like because like I don't think that movie's perfect, but like I think like the style and directing that Edgar Wright brought to that movie is like still you're like, man, this movie is doing shit that like no other movies do. Just because Edgar Wright, I think, is so fucking good at what he does. They got this anime adaption that was actually like written by the original creator Brian Lee O'Malley, and it's kind of hard to talk about without
so like a major spoiler in the beginning,
without
right?
some spoilers. So I guess if you literally don't want to know anything, I won't spoil too much, but if you literally don't want to know anything about this, maybe skip ahead.
Hit that 10 second skip on your
maybe skip the whole thing because I kind of have to talk a little bit.
Hit that 10-second skip multiple
times.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put a timestamp in the description. sure. But yeah, so the whole thing with this is that the first episode is like a very faithful recreation. And then they said, psych, we're going in a different direction with this. Yeah. And then the rest of it is like a subversion and it becomes a new story. And I loved that about it. I was all in on it because I understand why that would be off-putting to someone, especially if you thought it was going to be just like a straight adaption and maybe you were like, oh, I'm going to introduce like my friend or my partner to it. But for me, what we ended up getting was something that feels like more fresh and unique. And at least to me, it feels like such a complementary piece to the original books, where it's like, we're going to, be able to kind of like hone in, focus on like kind of characters that maybe didn't get quite the level of attention they did in the original story, which I love about it. It's hard to talk about specifics, but like a lot of the exes get evil exes for Ramona get like a lot more like attention. They get like some character arcs that they didn't get in the original, which I think just really fleshes out that world in a way that but at the same time remains very faithful to it. Like you'd think like 13 years later, like it feels like they don't miss a beat as far as like, oh yeah, like this is absolutely that character. That's how they'd react. Wallace Wells, Scott's gay roommate, was my favorite character in the books and is so fucking funny in this. Like, holy shit. Like they give like the amount of power he has in this. It's like, dude, I can't talk about specifics of what he does, but he does some shit that I was like, what the fuck? This is crazy. I am so in love with this. So, yeah, I mean, Man, I don't know. It did a thing that I didn't expect, which is like it got me back into Scott Pilgrim. Like I was kind of like, okay, I kind of want to read the book again now, especially because it is its own thing. I think if this was just straight adaption, I would have probably seen it and been like, oh, that's cool, you know, like adapting Scott Pilgrim again. But now it's more like, oh, this is like its own thing, and it just made me want to like go back and like reread those books, rewatch that movie because of how complimentary it is, and. Like the animation is like really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like it, I think it captures Brian Lee O'Malley's art style perfectly in a way that makes it like really stand out from other animated things you've seen before. Mm-hmm. Like you look at it and you're like, that is Scott Pilgrim specifically.
Yeah.
You can really tell. But then like the actual animation work that the studio did is incredible. Some of the fight scenes they do are like some of the best like animated shit I've seen in like a while. It's like really damn good. There's a fight scene in episode 3 in particular that I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is great.
Okay.
Big fan of that. The one thing I didn't love, or I'm just kind of more like, it's okay, is some of the voice cast in the English. So they decided, because it's kind of this marriage between like the books, obviously, with the art style and kind of like going off of that, you have the movies because they take the entire voice cast from the movie, all the actors, and they make them the voices. Like, it's, I think it's everyone's there.
Oh, sure.
It's like Michael Cera is Scott Pilgrim. It was like Mary Elizabeth Winslet, I think that's her name, is Ramona. Kieran Culkin is Wallace, which is. That he's perfect. Don't change him. He's amazing. you can kind of tell like, some of y'all are more actors, not voice actors. Yeah. Michael Cera was kind of like hit or miss. It was kind of weird. Cause sometimes I thought they were good and other times I was kind of like, they're okay. Nothing that ruined it for me, but I could definitely just be like, this doesn't feel like it's as strong or you're delivering this with the punchiness that you need to. I've heard really good things about the Japanese dub. So when Georgia gets back from her trip, I'm gonna do a rewatch and I think we're gonna watch it in Japanese because I think she'll enjoy it more in Japanese. And I'd like to kind of hear it in that.
That's funny.
Which is funny, but that stuff's okay. They do some really good nods to the movie as well. There's like, dude, it's like the way I would describe this plot is like it's kind of like if Brian Lee O'Malley like played Final Fantasy VII Remake and said like, oh yeah, I'll do that, but like more so, like where it's like you think it's doing one thing and then it kind of twists, but then it kind of references the original thing as well, and you're like, what the fuck is?
Yeah, I think some of my Discord homies called it the rebuild of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, a little bit like that, or like are you familiar with Higurashi Go, the second Higurashi anime?
No.
Higurashi Go is because the original Higurashi anime like has an ending. That was the original ending of the visual novels. Higurashi Go started out as like you watch it and you're like, the first episode is like, hey, this is just a one-for-one remake of the original show, but like with a new art style, it looks great, and you're like, oh okay, we're just getting a remake with like a better art style, and then it says it's like actually we're going in a different direction, and by the end it's like completely new territory. This sort of does the same thing, but like again, I personally love that about it. I'm just rambling here, man. No, I'm rambling about Scott Pilgrim. Oh, I feel like I'm fucking 16 again. like reading. But
That's nice, though.
I think it really speaks to how well those characters like hold up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like that world and what that original comic was trying to say. And it's like, it's interesting how this show brings up a lot of new themes and ideas, but also kind of like comes back to some of those original concepts and kind of almost like, I don't know, like someone described it as like really like, it's like Scott Pilgrim, but like without the subtext, just like, it's just text. Just
sure.
Like,
okay. Yeah.
Cause Scott Pilgrim's like this very famous example of just like media literacy, test.
Sure.
Of like,
yeah.
Did you understand what Scott Pilgrim was actually about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where most people were like, oh, he just, like, he was just a cool dude who fought all the bad guys and then got the girl. And you're like, that's not what the fucking book is about. This is a little more like, hey,
let's spell it out because you fuckers don't.
Let's spell it out maybe just like a little bit more in a way that I think totally works and is great. Yeah, man. Go check it out.
Scott Pilgrim takes off.
Scott Pilgrim. Oh, he Scott Pilgrim takes off.
He sure takes off.
Sure takes off. Yeah. It's real. It's real good. It's only like 8 episodes too.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like a super breezy watch. I think I watched in like 2 sittings.
Netflix. Okay. Fuck Netflix, the company, but.
Oh yeah.
Check out Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, cause dude. That shit's pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
I was never like super into Scott Pilgrim. Like I got it.
I get it.
I watched it in theaters, but I was like,
yeah.
I don't know. I was also like rebellious punk kid. I'm like,
that's not quite your the energy.
Yeah. I was like all these emo kids and scene kids, and I ended up being a scene kid myself anyway. Yeah. But I was like, you fuckers are
crying about
girls. Where I'm like. I was super into like political punk bands and shit. So I was like, you know, rebelling against like the war in Iraq and listening to Anti-Flag and Pennywise and being like, yeah, fuck the government, fuck George Bush. Like that's kind of the era I was in when Scott Pilgrim was kind of like a thing.
That makes sense.
And then I was like, no, actually these emo kids were onto something. that was until like junior, senior year in high school. I was like, I fucked emo kids. Like I was always friends with them, but like and always like stayed in that circle. But yeah. I was kind of like, I'm different. I'm into politics and anarchy and shit.
Uh-huh.
All you guys are crying about girls listening to Death Cab for Cutie and Taking Back Sunday. And then later on, I was like, oh, no, that shit is kind of fire. Like, once I started to get my heart broken, then I understood. And
then you're like, I get it.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I'm into women. I get it now. I put down George Orwell's 1984 and started actually talking to girls. Oh fuck, what a fucking life I've lived. Mm-hmm. God damn, that shit's crazy. Sick. Yeah, that's cool. That's
it's cool.
Yeah, that's good to know.
A surprise for me.
Surprise. Yeah.
Yeah,
sick. Gotham Takes Off, Super Mario RPG, just mm-hmm. nothing but nostalgia, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or like retooling our nostalgia.
Return to nostalgia. I'm trying to make a mental list in my head of like shit I need to check out before game of the year.
Because like, our deadline's coming up.
Our deadline is coming up real quick. Mm-hmm. By the time you're listening, our deadline's like I think Sunday.
I think it's Sunday. Yeah. Wow. To submit our lists.
Man, I'm not sure. The thing is. This is a little inside baseball, the process.
Ooh, I love baseball.
But when you're picking your best of the year for GameSpot, you kind of have to like almost like play the game of just like
what needs my vote?
What needs my vote? Or like what could I play that realistically would make sense? Because like there's all these games that people have recommended that I'm like, oh, that's cool, but like. Is that actually gonna, even if it makes my top 10, even if it makes my number one, mm-hmm. is that gonna get in the actual GameSpot list at all? Is it gonna be in the conversation?
So you like kind of have to gauge what's gonna be in the conversation and then play off of that.
So like a good example, I don't know, it could. I'm not trying to give anything away, but like one of the games I haven't played yet that I've been meaning to is Amnesia: The Bunker.
Okay.
But like, I genuinely like, I don't know where that sits with people, like, or like who's played it. It's kind of difficult.
Mark Delaney.
I think he's like the one guy I know. And
I want to see his top 10. That motherfucker's on to some.
Yeah. It's kind of tough.
That's different.
Ever since like, you know, we've kind of gone more remote because I feel like when you're in the office, you got like a better sense of like all the shit people have played. Now I'm just like, man, I don't know what. You fuckers have been playing.
Yeah.
Like
I don't even know. Exactly. It's a little bit harder to gauge just because like we don't have those spontaneous conversations as much anymore. But I always love Game of the Year time.
Me too.
I love mess. You know me, man. I don't even have to argue. I
love
just
a
like,
hot mess.
I got my arms folded, just in the club, arms folded, cap pulled down, just scoping out everything.
Are you that kind of guy who's like, what if I just throw something in at a little chaos?
It's like, what if I told y'all, oh, that game was ass? They're like, oh no. It's like, yeah, how about that? Game of the year is always fun, but you do have to be a little bit more, especially as you push against the quote unquote deadline for our votes.
Mm-hmm.
Play the things that are going to be in conversation or just like the big hitters. So you at least can contribute to that or you're not like, don't feel left out. And not that we spoil anything when we do deliberations. I mean, sometimes that has to happen.
Yeah. And I think we do try and be like, look, if you really care, you can mute the call for a minute.
Yeah. So yeah, for me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be very particular about what I end up playing.
And you want to make sure you feel knowledgeable. So sure, it's like, you know, it's not just like, you know, I could play Amnesia, but like I might be better off playing this other game that I know is going to be in the debate that I want to feel knowledgeable about so that I feel like I can make a meaningful
contribution to the conversation,
yeah. Meaningful vote, you know?
Yeah. I've kind of like, as I was like, oh shit, it's coming up real soon for us. Just because there's so much that goes into the process when it comes to like content creation and actually putting out awards and because you know the what we do is like sort of official because like we give awards to like actually like you know goes out on like people care about that kind of thing within the industry so there is a process to follow and it does take time to like put those things out so
yeah.
And for me, I'm just like, I have to finish Alan Wake too. That's A-dubs. That's just the thing. I think that's the last thing on my, like on a realistically that I can finish that is going to be definitely in the conversation.
I would say that one's a high priority, yeah, you know?
Absolutely. Just cause also I need to get through that game before someone, like I haven't been spoiled on anything
I'm
yet.
Shocked.
Yeah.
Well, just because like there was a specific thing that like. They put out a thing last week that kind of like opened the floodgate for people being like, oh, we're allowed to talk about this now. And everyone just kind of started talking about that scene. And so like, I remember like you being like, oh, I haven't played it yet. I haven't got spoiled. And I was like sweating being like, oh, Michael doesn't see all that shit on Twitter.
I still haven't.
People were talking about that pretty openly.
I put a solid 5 hours into Alan Wake 2 last night. Finally, just because I've been on vacation, other assignments and all, I just haven't had time to like carve out for A-dubs. But yeah, I'm feeling it, man. Like especially as someone who loves Max Payne, Max Payne 2, like the Remedy universe. I'm starting to see the pieces come together. I'm like, yo, these motherfuckers is going for it. It's cool. It's cool. I'm definitely gonna be playing that through the TG break. But other than that, like I'm pretty like locked in on. I like what I like and I love what I love. And I feel like when the time comes at the end of the year, my list is always kind of out there a bit.
Oh yeah. You're very unapologetic about your list.
I'm very confident in what I like.
You're like House of Fate Morgana, put it on the list.
Put that shit
and everyone's like, what the fuck even is this game?
I know for a fact no one's going to have Octopath. Well, actually, no, maybe Max.
I think Octopath. The one time I remember doing that recently and I was like devastated was because this is when you left. So I know you would have put on your list was a Deltarune Chapter 2.
Holy
I put that shit on my list. No one else put it on the list. So it didn't even show up on the fucking spreadsheet. And I was like,
I would have, that was my number 3 that year.
But it was like my number 4 or something. So I was just like, fuck.
Deltarune Chapter 2. That was crazy. Yeah. Cause, I was at Fanbyte at the time. Remember we did our editor's top 10s at Fanbyte. And yeah, that was up there. It was,
Of course Fanbyte would have put that in there.
Yeah. But yeah, that year was Endwalker, Nier, Deltarune, Chicory, P5 Strikers, SMT5. That was my,
ooh, that was a good year for RPGs,
for me. Yeah. Right?
And for you and for Michael Hyman in particular.
That was my year, man. Fucking Scarlet Nexus made my top 10. That game was sick, dude. Damn. Dan Tack. Where's Scarlet Nexus 2? Give me that shit. But yeah, it's always fun, you know. I'm just trying to figure out where Alan Wake 2 would fit, or if it even makes it. No,
wow.
I don't know. We'll see. It's honestly a stiff competition when I actually like look at
it. Really is.
Like, there are some games that I played early in the year. I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be top five for me for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like now it's like, okay, how is it gonna even fit into my 10?
Dude, I don't know. Seriously, I've not had this much trouble like going through a list as I have in like many, many years. Like I feel like some years I was just like last three, I'd be like, I guess that game was cool. Yeah.
It's like you give props. Like my last three slots, maybe I'll just like use that to give props to other games.
A couple other games I think are kind of neat. But yeah, this year like genuinely difficult. It's just like bring back top 25.
Yeah, just one time ranked.
It's not. Also. That was a nightmare. Were you there for top 25?
Were you there
for the last year we did that?
Yeah, it was 2016.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, because it was 2016. I was like 1 month into the job here at GameSpot. Yeah. So I didn't I knew everybody because I was watching GameSpot videos and whatever. But I think you and Jake may have been like my only friends. Aww. The people I think Mike also, just because like I really hit it off with Mike when I first got to GameSpot. Right. But y'all were like the only people like I like would talk to. And I think Tay too, to an extent, because Tay was like older brother to me.
Yeah.
Especially when I first got here. But other than that, I'm just like, I don't really know people like all that well. I remember like Mary being involved and like bouncing off of her energy and shit. But like,
oh, Mary's so funny during Game of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said a lot of shit during that year. Where I was like, no, this is my one chance to say something, because if I get laid off next, I just want to make people know I'm here. So I was like talking fucking about Hitman and
I remember you and me were real passionate about getting Hitman on the top 10.
I remember Jake said, he's like, but you know, it's not Blood Bunny. I was like, oh, hold on.
Oh, he's come around now, but
yeah, he's definitely come around.
It took a minute.
I remember it was like, Jake, no. We're gonna talk about this at home.
I remember trying to make a passionate argument for Overcooked.
Oh, or,
and I was like, yeah, like, you know, this is like a game that like me and my partner like we're really bonding over, and like we
like,
feel like we're perfect synergy. No, I remember Mary was like,
so
we get it, you got laid because you played Overcooked.
I remember that unlocked a memory.
Yes.
All that unlocked.
She's like,
memory.
Oh, we get it. You got laid because you played Overcooked.
Dog, that is such, oh my god,
that's classic Mary. Oh,
holy,
I love it.
Fuck. Oh, that unlocked a memory for me. Damn, that shit was crazy. Ooh. Oh my god. I remember. That's so got fucking roasted.
Yeah,
and you weren't there much longer than I was at the time too.
No, at the time it was like really embarrassed. I was like, oh, okay. Like now I look back and I'm like, that shit was funny as fuck.
That was hella funny. I would have said the same shit. I'm like, this motherfucker said he got laid. Damn. Oh, wow. You fucking made the spaghetti on time and you filled out all the customers' orders and you got domed up. Great. Congrats, bro. That's just fucking funny.
Would that not make it your top 10?
That is a compelling argument, I would say. I would not argue against that. Yeah, this is a fun shit like that, especially when we did ranked 25. At some point, we're just like, yeah, fuck it, whatever.
Ranked 25 is too much. Yeah, no one should do that.
Gotta bring that shit back. No, playing. No, but I mean, like, if you follow, if you've been following GameSpot this year especially, you know that there are five games that earned a coveted 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as where the argument's going to go from there, we'll see. But that does kind of narrow the list a little bit more.
Sure.
I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an exciting time for sure. And we're going to have content lined up next month.
Yeah.
Sooner than usual.
I'm not going to say when, because I don't want to step no toes, but just, yeah, sooner than usual. Like, it's coming up in a way that I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I gotta think about that right now. Think about that right now. So yeah, that should be exciting.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here,
mm-hmm.
What's going on with you in Thanksgiving?
What's going on with me in Thanksgiving? My brother's coming.
Oh, hell yeah. Is that your brother you play Final Fantasies with?
Yep.
Sick.
I only got the one. He's the only brother. Okay. He's my Final Fantasy brother. Yeah. So he's going to come by, and I'm actually going to play Alan Wake 2 with him.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I was like, dude, you're going to love this game. Like, because he loves like Resident Evil and just like horror games in general. He loves like weird meta shit. He loves like Twin Peaks. I'm just like, dude, like you gotta play Alan Wake 2. I know you will love this. He doesn't own any modern consoles, and his only computer is a Steam Deck right now.
Oh, wow.
And that shit cannot run Alan Wake 2 very well. I know you can get it technically running, but, like, it's not ideal. Yeah. And so he was like, yeah, like, reasonably, I'm not going to be able to play this game for, like, probably a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you got to play right now. And I was like, what if when you come by, we play Alan Wake 2? So he actually just went through and played the original, finally, on his Steam Deck. And liked it for the most part. He was, like, sick of the combat by the end, which, I mean, yeah, that's kind of...
Oh, for Alan Wake 1?
Alan Wake 1, yeah.
Yeah, same.
And yeah, that's kind of the...
It's not great.
I didn't even know this. He was saying that apparently when they put it on PC, they swapped the difficulties around so that normal difficulty on PC is what hard difficulty was on the original Xbox release. Yeah,
oh,
and
shit.
I was like, why would they do that?
Maybe they thought it was too easy. You know, Mario RPG could take a note.
But despite that, he really did enjoy, like, that game. And so I'm just like, all right, man, buckle up. Because Alan Wake 2,
okay, cool, yeah.
Alan Wake 2 goes wild. So
is he aware of Max Payne and shit like that?
He is. He's never played Max Payne. He hasn't played Control either.
Oh shit. Okay.
But I was telling him, like, oh, you gotta play those too. I think he'll really enjoy it. So that'll be exciting. That'll be a good time.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna go shopping, pick up some food to prep a little tiny little, you know, sibling Thanksgiving dinner.
Shit, yeah.
Should be cool.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Partner's out of town, so it's just the two of us.
Oh, is still?
Yeah. Yeah. She's gone to, like, Sunday.
Damn.
I know. That's what's like up. A whole ass week. so yeah, so it's gonna be me, my brother, and Brinks. We're just gonna be hanging out.
Little baby Brinks.
Playing Alan Wake.
Oh,
it's gonna be a good time. What about you?
Got a couple of Friendsgivings.
Ooh, that's good.
On Wednesday, tomorrow. Fuck, tomorrow's Wednesday. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday and Thursday. And then other than that, yeah, I'm dedicating my life to Alan Wake 2. Something about, like, daylight savings time, you know, it gets dark early and then it's, like, a little chilly.
Yeah.
The smell in the air is a little bit different. You could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell it's the holiday season.
Mm, yes.
And something about, you know, playing games during this time.
Yeah.
It's game time, baby.
I know you mean.
Yeah. Especially something like Alan Wake. It's very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super into it. So I'm probably going to, just be playing through that. But yeah, best Thanksgiving side. Top three.
Yeah. Let's see. Best Thanksgiving side, top three. So stuffing, which I didn't like as a kid.
Me neither.
But then I got into. Well, first off, I, as a dumbass kid, I literally didn't understand what stuffing was.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone's just like, all I knew was, like, it's called stuffing and it comes out of the turkey. So I assumed it was just literally, like, the insides of the turkey.
Okay.
Just, like, roasted and, like, put on a plate. And I was
you're smarter than I was.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want that. That sounds gross. Like, I don't want the insides of a turkey. Ew. and then they're like, it's not what that is. It's like bread and garlic and whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And like, and eventually I was like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty good. Mm. So I love me some good stuffing. Mac and cheese, probably.
Okay.
A good mac and cheese. I'll take it anyway, too. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, like baked in the oven, like
craft.
Craft style. Like,
Annie's.
Yeah, literally just, like, cook up a box of Annie's and throw it on the Thanksgiving dinner. I will
eat that.
That's
going on my
shit.
Plate.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think you can really go wrong with that. And then, do desserts count? Or
yeah, sure.
Okay, because I mean, pumpkin pie. It's like my favorite pie.
Pumpkin pie. I don't know.
I love pumpkin pie. It's very simple. And I know that's why some people don't like pumpkin pie, but I think the simplicity of pumpkin pie is why I love it. Cause I'm just like,
sacred.
It's just like a hot,
it's
like smooth.
It's such a unique flavor. And you only really have it during this time of the year.
Yeah.
So over the years, that flavor is like, oh, it's holiday time.
100%. It's like, yes, like you'll only have it during like Thanksgiving and then like, maybe Christmas sometimes. Leading up to Christmas. But yeah, it's like, it's really a thing you only have around this one time. And it's just got this very unique profile.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are kind of the three.
Hell
I would
say. Oh, those, I ain't gonna argue with that. I would say one would be probably like a solid baked mac and cheese. Two would be, for me, candied yams, for sure.
Okay, yeah.
It's a southern staple, but
sure.
you know, soul food is near and dear to my heart. Candy yams, and then three, but dude, it's tough. I like mashed potatoes, but I feel like I could have mashed potatoes any kind of any time of the year.
Yeah.
So
I do like the specific gravy you get when you use the turkey like drippings to make the gravy.
Oh, sure.
Like it stands out from your usual because like you put a little extra effort into the gravy. So mm-hmm. you're like, mm,
there's a little bit more going on.
Yeah.
In that gravy. Yeah. I feel you on that. But candy yams are probably, ooh, fuck it. Lumpia. We got lumpia at during Thanksgiving all the time. It's not traditional, but you know what?
Hey, you know what? Doesn't fuck matter.
It. Yeah, it's going to be there one way or the other. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's that's what Thanksgiving is going to be for us. Let us know what your Thanksgiving is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Along with a 5-star rating.
Along with a 5-star stunner rating on your, since this is not being streamed on twitch.tv/gamespot like it usually is. You know, you can put that shit in the reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You know what I'm saying? Because we locked in here. GameSpot After Dark. This is a fun conversation, John. Yeah. Thank you for spending time with me.
Oh, thank you. You know what? Yeah. You know, when you were like, hey, man, we should do one. And I was like, you know, okay. And then I'm like, it was good.
It's good for the soul.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like put everything out there. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I hope y'all enjoyed this. I hope y'all have a good holiday break. And don't give into, wait, no. Shit.
What?
I was going to say, don't give into the Black Friday sales. But that's kind of a backbone of GameSpot's, of our economy. So
check out GameSpot.com for all the Black Friday sales.
Yeah. Make sure you hit that motherfucking buy button if you are going to buy something. Fuck Black Friday sales unless it's through GameSpot.com. You heard it here first. You know what I'm saying? Let us know what's up.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. But yeah, hope you all enjoy a holiday break. I hope you all enjoy this episode. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back soon. That's what's up.
Peace.
Peace, y'all.